Hey everybody, thanks for downloading Top Shelf Films. Just as a warning that there will be spoilers about the film that we are discussing today. So just remember that and enjoy.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Top Shelf Films. My name's Blake.
My name's Tony.
And this week we welcome our friend Maya.
Woo! Maya!
Hello!
Yes, you might recognize Maya as the other man that's on my podcast, The Best Picture Show.
I'm not really a man.
No, she's not.
I'm actually here specifically because I'm a lady, because I thought,
because
you know
she
what?
Seduced Tony with her feminine wiles, and now I guess she's part of a podcast.
No, because if any movie needed a female perspective, I think Fifty Shades of Grey might have been one.
Yes.
It's true. And this, of course, we're referring to a biologically female perspective because Tony usually provides it.
I don't know. You are more feminine than Tony in a lot of ways.
Yeah, that's fair. That's real fair. All right. So this week we saw a movie, and it was about a guy just beating the shit out of this lady.
His name might be
Grey. She was like, hey, that sounds good to me, I guess, most of the time. And sometimes she was like, that does not sound good. And that movie was called 50 Shades of Grey.
And that's it. Let's talk about something else.
Yeah, guys, what other movies have we seen?
Podcast. Thank you for listening. Hey, how's about those numbers there, Tony?
Oh, yeah. I suppose I should look that up.
Okay, Maya's here. I guess we forgot how to do the podcast.
Hey Maya, while I'm looking this up, why don't you tell us why you wanted to do this episode? Because you're the one who contacted us. You're like, oh my god, can I do the Faith of Shades of Grey episode, please?
Yeah, because please. I wasn't joking about, like, I do think that it's good to have some kind of, like, what women's perspective on this movie, especially...
like, we care what women think.
A feminist woman's perspective.
I just feel like you're gonna... I feel like the only thing you're gonna add to this is that you'll get mad at the stuff I say before the podcast airs.
Well,
so
because...
now it'll just be on record.
Feminists do not have a sense of humor. So no. I will not laugh.
Yeah, that's why when I went out wearing my meninist shirt last week, I got stabbed.
My God,
I was like, "Whoa, so stab me!"
But also, I just really wanted to hate watch this movie. Yeah. Like I really wanted to hate watch this movie.
That was even if this wasn't somehow the highest grossing film. At some point, we would have watched it because.
Right.
I wouldn't.
The whole idea of this movie is
there's no way in hell that this movie was not going to make the movie. It is the most viewed trailer on YouTube.
And I've seen the trailer at multiple movies.
Yeah.
Because, like, I've been going to a lot of movies because we did a bunch of ones about the Oscars. Mm-hmm. And every time I saw a movie, I would just be like, ugh! I would laugh as soon as it started. Yep. I'm just like,
and most people also in the audiences would, I think.
I almost started laughing just when the title of the movie started. Like when it's just clouds and just fades in 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, yeah,
I almost laughed.
Like, I was laughing for most of the movie. Let's, what are the numbers look like?
So this is just estimated.
I'm afraid to know because.
Download's done. Got the Simpsons. No, so we are recording this on Sunday, so we don't have the actual numbers.
But we know it will make the most money, so.
The estimate right now is $81 million. And that's just really only Friday and Saturday, to be honest. So, yeah.
And tomorrow a lot of people have off because it's President's Day, too. So,
Obama got off on the President's Day. Over the weekend, I was like, oh, you know what would be fun? And I read a bunch of the blurbs from the Fresh reviews. And I was like, these people are delusional. It's crazy. Oh, it's so much fun. Okay.
What Stephanie Zacharach thing? I mean, you should find that.
I don't think she's reviewed it yet. I'm so psyched, though.
Right.
She's the worst reviewer in the world. Oh my god.
So
she gave 12 Years a Slave a rotten, but she gave a Fresh to what was the really big one that I was so mad about?
Exodus.
Exodus and also like the 4% Hercules movie, whatever that was. She gave a Fresh, but 12 Years a Slave is a little bit heavy handed. What? It's crazy. Oh my god, it's crazy.
Alright. Okay. What we got on Rotten Tomatoes?
Alright, on Rotten Tomatoes this week we have a 26% for 50 Shades of Grey as it stands of 176 reviews. It's got a 26%, a 51% audience review. Apparently that demographic of ladies aged 30 to 75 is actually a lot more significant than we thought.
By the way, guys, one thing Clay has been saying this whole time leading up to the movie is he was hoping so much that it would be
like,
great.
Like, what if this had just been like Best Picture next year? Like, what if it was just amazing?
And when the first five reviews were posted on Rotten Tomatoes, they were all positive. So 50 Shades of Grey was at 100% at one point.
Yeah. Probably for like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And it
seriously was
good.
Because then like I posted a second picture on your wall that was like 30 minutes later, it was down to 69%. Well, yeah. That was just great, by the way.
The critics' consensus on 50 Shades of Grey, Rotten Tomatoes.
There is still 69 going on.
While creatively better endowed than its print counterpart, 50 Shades of Grey is a less than satisfying experience on the screen. And I can say, critics, you're right.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. So as always, before we get started talking about the plot of this movie, we have a sponsor. This week's episode of Top Shelf Films, I believe Maya has the sponsor's notes.
Look at that.
Yeah, I know. They passed it to me.
That's weird.
Just, yeah.
How did they know you were going to be here?
It was really secretive. It was in a folder thing.
Oh.
Yeah. And,
it's like the Oscar, like a ballot.
It was just, right. It was from Grey Enterprises.
Oh. And
I don't know what the fuck Enterprises does.
Did
because
you mean Grey House?
It has never been explained.
Yeah, Grey House?
Grey Enterprises, right? That's what
did
it's
you mean
called?
The building that said Grey House on the front of it?
Is that what it
movie?
Said?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
The note. Guys. Oh, they messed up the note. That's weird.
Well, or online it said Grey Enterprises. Anyway, never explained. Never nope. explain what it is. So I guess I'll just say Grey House or Grey Enterprises. Yeah. Look into it, guys.
Just buy their products. Whatever they are. It's probably just ties or cars or
wait,
something.
Yeah. Are you trying to tell
it's
me
just,
that this
is business. That's what I was thinking when he was on the phone at one point and he's all pissed off. I'm just like he just should be saying like business.
All right, we are into the plot and we can even just talk about that because she walks in at that moment and yep. he says, 24 hours is unacceptable. Yep. You tell them they do not have 24 hours. And he hangs up.
Yep.
Ooh, you can tell he's so good at business.
And what the fuck does that even mean?
Who knows?
How does he make his money? Oh. What does he do? Why is he a billionaire?
Yeah.
Because he gives money to people who need food.
Because at one point he had no food.
Yeah.
From the time that he was from 1 to 4, like.
Yeah. When he remembers the abuse, probably.
Right.
What? Guess what? Okay, so this movie, just in general, I think we should go and say what our favorite part of the movie was, just to start. Just what is your favorite thing about this movie?
Like, are you saying what you actually liked, or
what is your favorite thing about the movie? Doesn't matter.
I got
okay.
Whatever you classify as your favorite, what is it?
I got it right here. My favorite part was this. There's a scene where what's her name again? Anastasia Steele. Stupid name.
Just call her Anna though, because she really just wants to be called Anna. Yeah.
When she is
kind of like how Isabella Swan wants to be called
just Bella.
Bella,
guys, just Bella.
Weird.
The scene where she is drunk and on the phone talking to Christian Grey and
that
pretty
was,
much mocking
that was
him.
Actually, pretty funny. I really liked that scene.
Yeah.
I love that scene because to me that just actually made fun.
Also,
of
we're
the
actually
movie.
Talking about things that we did like.
Doesn't matter.
Yes.
Just something, if you like something for some other reason,
yeah.
it's fine. Just whatever your favorite
but
thing was.
I just like that because she's just like making fun of like how over serious he was at that like one part on the street.
Yeah.
And that is just like, that's what the whole movie was.
Yeah.
And it made fun of itself.
Yes.
And I was like, okay.
But you're not allowed to be self-aware for a second and then just
then
keep
go
doing
back.
That bullshit.
Yeah, you can't keep doing your thing.
Right.
It's
yeah.
not
but
okay.
There was moments where I was cool with that. Times I thought she was stale, but I was
well,
okay
can I
with
say,
her.
I think in different roles, like, I think she could be a good actress.
Yes.
You know, like,
she was good in her very, very, very small part in The Social Network.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
She was the girl that Justin Timberlake sleeps with.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And then when I saw that movie, takes her computer I see her in her underwear, I'm just like, I want to see that ass. And then I got my wish.
for like a good hour and 20 minutes, probably.
Right. Jesus, energy.
Maybe there's only 20 minutes of sex, but there was like a good 45 of other sexual things.
Yeah. Like, a lot of
guys,
sex.
Guys, my question to the boardroom, like, I just feel like there must have been so many arguments with them and the MPAA trying to figure out, like, to get this R rating, how many sex scenes do you think we have to replace with slow whipping montages? Because at least 4 or 5, I think, was the answer.
And I'm sorry, but Shame, the movie Shame, was rated NC-17, and this fucking movie wasn't rated NC-17? Like, bullshit.
It was really dumb.
Bullshit.
When they came out with the R rating, people were like, well, it looks like we're not getting a PG-13 version, which is not good because there's not as much money. I'm like, what the hell were you thinking that this movie...
How could you ever make that movie, like, PG-13? No fucking way.
Exactly. All right, so...
Okay, so back to favorite parts. Favorite parts? Can I go?
Yeah.
So, the tone of the movie is just... so weird, like, because it starts off, I mean, really ridiculously, so it's it's funny, right? And then the middle part of the movie is so slow, it almost made me want to fall asleep.
Same here.
But I'm not gonna lie, the end of the movie was slightly compelling to me.
I actually felt the same way about the ending. I don't think it was good, but it was at least compelling. It was driving, and I was like, okay, this is really dumb, but I at least want to kind of know what happens.
And also, she finally did, like, spoiler alert, she finally did walk away, too. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was like, and I did kind of want to see.
And she'll be gone forever. There's not going to be more movies.
Unlike the books, it is not a trilogy. I did like how it progressed, like, because... he finally did, like, show her how bad he can get, but also, like, that's not how bad he can get. You can get so much worse than what the fuck. I mean, he was, like, whipping her, hitting her,
and there was
whatever.
A couple of those whips that did. There's a couple of, like whips and hits that, I don't know, maybe it's just me. It didn't even sound that hurtful.
Right.
Like, some were just kind of like a...
Why did you hit me? My favorite part about this movie, I think, was that the editor cut away from most of the genitalia, but only after we saw, like, a real good amount of pubic hair.
Yes!
Every time.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just loved how much pubic hair without genitals there was in this movie.
And can I say, like... I'm okay that they're, like, she was not shaved, which is,
she was, at the beginning of the movie, she was a virgin.
Yeah.
So.
Right. But, I mean.
No, virgins don't.
No, I know. That has almost nothing to do with it.
Doesn't
but
really. Well,
that
also
was crazy.
And also, there was, I don't know why I noticed this detail, but whatever, I don't care. When they're panning up on her legs at one point, you see that she has hair.
She had hair on her legs,
I was like, oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, she didn't know she was going to have sex, like. She's never had sex, and she's just going to this place.
Okay, I'm a girl.
Okay, but she kissed him one time ever.
Yeah. If there's any opportunity at all in your mind ever, you are going to shave that shit.
Well, she didn't, so... So, I think you might be wrong, Maya. So that was weird. Also, I would say the tone of this movie, just overall, because you were talking about
it's
the tone a little
so
bit.
Awkward.
Like, the fact that... they were like, okay, so it's called 50 Shades of Grey, so what we should do is make everything as gray as possible.
Yes.
So the entirety of the movie, well, as gray as possible, but let's just push everything into blue a little bit.
Love that it's in Seattle, too.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So everything's gray. There's rain.
Where is Forks? Where is that? Oh, is that in Washington too?
Yeah.
Oh, Twilight
so
also?
Yeah, I don't know.
Weird.
That's some commonalities.
Guys, you're blowing my mind right now. I can't handle this.
One thing I liked was that only two people in the entire city of Seattle and on the road between Seattle and where was she from? Portland. That whole road and those two cities combined, only like two people had cars that were not black or gray. That was crazy. Did you notice?
Funny.
In all the pulled-out shots of traffic, nobody had colored cars. I was like, what the fuck is happening?
That's crazy. But
but
so
the tone
she was
overall
supposed to be
is like
in Portland.
Yeah, at the beginning.
But then her college was Vancouver.
I don't know. She's so crazy.
Are you saying that this movie didn't put that much thought into things?
Yeah, I don't know. That seems weird.
I'm sorry, you were saying about the tone.
So the tone overall to me is like, you know how in like movies or games or TV shows or whatever, when someone is shell-shocked and there's like that dull buzzing and you can't really hear anything. That's what this movie was like, but as a full movie. Just that sound and feeling, but for like an hour and a half and everyone's naked.
Yeah.
It was, oh.
This movie literally was the combination of a bad soap opera and just a porn to me. Like a very soft.
Yeah.
Like I didn't feel compelled at the end like you guys did. I just was either watching melodrama that I didn't care about. I laughed
so much at this movie.
And I started laughing so much.
Best line, seriously, it's gotta be the best fucking line in the movie is when they're fighting and he's complaining about, like, how, you know, he can't think, like, he's insane and all this stuff, and he says, I am 50 shades of fucked up.
Who
my God!
Wrote that, gave it to their boss, and had them read it, and they're like, yes.
Right.
I approve of this script.
It's going to make $1 billion.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I am 50 shades of fucked up. And then also, when she left twice, he said, see you later, bae? Or what was he saying?
Oh, no, he was like, later's...
Later's bae? Or later's babe?
Something like later's babe. Later's baby, I think is what he was saying.
And it was like... Is super awkward.
Is maybe supposed to be a joke based on something?
Yeah.
But I don't know what. Like, that's like if you walk into a room and one of your friends says an inside joke and everyone laughs and you're like, okay. But that happened in a movie that millions of people are going to see. It was so weird.
That was the one joke, though, too, that, like, half the audience was laughing at.
And so many people.
Why?
Yeah.
Why are you laughing?
All the stuff that was supposed to be jokes.
Maybe it is a joke from the book.
All the stuff that were supposed to, like,
be
dialogue
jokes. Maybe we can give it the benefit of the doubt.
Oh, my God.
And it is a joke for the people who read the book.
But why?
I don't know.
Everything that was supposed to be a joke in the dialogue or the delivery or anything, everything with the exception of, like, two of the things they said was the least funny, like, tamest bullshit I've ever heard in a movie that's about someone just beating shit out of somebody while they have sex with them.
Right.
They were like, hey, what about that fun wordplay? And then everybody in the audience was like, oh. And we were like, no.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie. I laughed quite a bit at the beginning of this movie, and as it kept on going, I just didn't find it funny anymore. I was just kind of sad from where I was.
Yeah, no, you get a little numb.
Yeah.
It's like...
Well, and that's why I said, like, the tone of it is, like, at the beginning, it is really funny because it's so ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But then as they, like, get into the relationship, and then it does get just, like, boring.
Yeah.
One more thing I will say about it, and, like, I do think that the sex scenes, like, the actual, like, sex that they showed... was like it was pretty hot. Like
it
was
steamy.
Yeah.
It was it was shot well.
Right.
That's
it's
the thing,
like,
is the whole movie in general
was
shot pretty well.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
It kinda felt like what I would think a steamy romance book is like, where there's a lot of detail in that particular thing. That's
right.
How I think that's where they put the most work in, was how can we make this look steamy?
And another thing that I'll say too, I said this before we started recording, that there is no, like, he's not really getting anything. Like, I mean, he's whipping her and that kind of, so, like, obviously that can be bad, but he's not, like, making her give him a blowjob or make, you know, like, there's nothing like that. It is more of, like, a hurt kind of, and, like, and then she's getting a lot of pleasure.
It's more power to him
than
he gets pleasure from.
Yeah, not
him.
Hurt necessarily, but, like, giving
dominant.
Her pleasure, is just, like, that's
because, like, what does she
gets
say
from it, I guess?
It's like, he's the one who controls her pleasure and pain.
Basically. What does she says, like, are you a sadist or something? And he replies with, what, oh, fuck, not that. God damn it.
You don't remember the fantastic dialogue of this
I don't know
movie?
How that it didn't stick out to me.
A lot of it was
text
a lot
messages?
Of it was so nuanced that it makes sense. It's so
the
like
text messages
the dialogue
are
all
just
like, beats you like a club
oh
over the head
God.
Like terrible. None of
and
it.
And as anyone who has listened to the other podcast that me and Tony do with Alex, I love dialogue. Like, that is, I love that. That is my favorite. And I'm like watching this movie. Oh my God. I was just like, there is no, because I also love romantic comedies and just like a lot of romance
and
movies.
And getting
laid. Too. Ew.
All those things.
But that's the thing that I like about those movies is like, if it's a, like, the scenes where they get together and, like, the man says something that's just like, oh my God. Or even the way that some of the actors in, like, the lead actors in romantic movies look at the female lead. I'm just like, God, I want somebody to look at me like that. There was nothing like that in this movie.
There were times in this movie where I felt like the actors in their head were just like, I'm in a fishy 50 Shades of Grey movie. Like, and like they're laughing that they're doing this.
This movie had as much chemistry as Art College did. None. There was none.
I didn't think that they... I don't know.
I really don't feel like they connected at all.
I don't think it was that bad.
Like, the camera and the editing and stuff did an okay job of fabricating a connection, but I really don't think the actors worked that well together.
No.
Yeah. Because, like, the guy who played Christian Grey just, like, stared dead-eyed into the, like, distance for the whole movie.
Yeah.
Even when he's looking at her, it was like, he's looking past her.
Beautiful, so and I the think worst that's part
the one thing. You're a fan of Jamie Dornan?
He's a gorgeous man, like, for sure.
Is he British? Because it felt like he was trying to cover up an accent really hard.
Irish,
he was not doing a good job covering up his accent. It was slipping in and out.
I wish he had the strongest Irish accent for that movie.
Right? Like, that would have been pretty sweet. Oh, okay, another thing, too, like,
you're letting me take the whips out on your pot of gold. Like a leprechaun.
You are Irish, aren't you?
Colin Farrell here. Woo!
50 Shades.
Could there be more like phallic references in it to the fucking pencil and that her? She might as well have just deep throated that goddamn pen.
Are you saying? That pencil was supposed to be like a penis when she was putting it in her mouth.
You mean,
it said his name on it? That was him? That was supposed to represent him because it says name?
And even, like, even his building, the way they, like, shot his building was, like, going, like, erect out of the ground, you know?
This sweet motor business.
But it's like, you can't show his actual dick erect, so, you know, you're
apparently
show all this other
flaccid because we did not see it at all. She was
naked. There was a little bit of shaft.
I remember that.
A centimeter of penis in a sea of pubic hair for. Yeah. A millisecond, and I was like, this seems unfair. Like, I don't care that I didn't see his dick that much, but like, she was naked
the whole
ridiculous amount of this movie.
A lot. And who is going to see this movie? Women. Yeah. Like, really? It's going to be the woman that, like...
I'm sorry. First of all, I'm sorry to any of my relatives listening, but I was not even a little bit aroused by any of this movie. None of it was sexy.
The Ice Cube thing I thought was a little, like,
hot.
When they did the close-up and he's
but
like...
But you love SVU, so that's not even fair.
Oh my God.
That's Ice Tea. That was good. That was close. That's Ice Tea.
Wow.
You should have said...
Are we there?
I fucked it up. I was so close.
God damn it, Kevin.
Good work, Kev.
Recording in front of Kevin.
The worst part about this movie, I feel like it actually could have been a good movie if they changed if they changed the main characters and also everything else about it.
See,
I had to make it into a different movie.
My thought during this movie
There's one huge part that I still need to we needed to discuss.
My thought like on this
you
was,
say one or she will do that again.
What was I gonna say? Oh no. I just thought, like, this story, if you really want to call it that, it felt like, I don't know, I would want to see this, like, told in a really, really gritty kind of way. Like, one that kind of, like, really makes you feel disgusted about this guy's actions. Because I feel like that...
You watch porn.
No,
that's
but, like,
what that is.
No, what I'm saying is, like, what's his name? Lars von Trier, who did Nymphomaniac, like... If he did it more like that, where it's like kind of a commentary on sex rather than
shame.
Like something like that. Even
like,
even David Fincher could probably pull off something that I feel like is.
Well,
like,
so here, let's get into this. So this is the problem with. This is the problem with the movie. No,
the problem.
one of the big issues. So it's all about S&M, right? And it's all about having a dominant and a submissive.
Oh, yes.
And as we talked about before, like, the author had no idea what that even meant.
No. And
so
like,
what she wrote was an abusive relationship.
Which is funny because she also wrote a part where he's like, you should look up what this is on the internet so you understand it. And she didn't do that.
Exactly. So, because she might as well have been Anastasia, and then typed in submissive, saw that, and was like, oh, I'm going to write a book about that.
No, that you is know? Absolutely, and because this was a Twilight fanfiction that was then just literally, like, the names were changed, and now it's this movie,
right.
And those books, because of that, when people write, like, sexual fanfiction, they are always the character that is, like, their gender or whatever, that driving character is the author. In almost every case of, like, fan fiction, because they write it because they want to be like, look how sexy I got with this vampire, but it's not me, though, really.
Yeah.
But, like, so she kind of was, and it's, like, she wrote her as herself, sort of. I don't know. It's just,
But, like, that's the problem. So, like, okay, here's the story itself. Here's, it could go one of two ways. Either it goes where it's an actual, like, healthy relationship where there is somebody who's dominant and somebody who's submissive, but they have other normal shit that they do, you know?
Yeah. You don't, like, live in a weird sex house all the time. Normal
people are submissive and dominant. Yeah. And, like, and yeah, there could be times where, like, the dominant makes the submissive do things, and but, like, not in the way that Christian Grey is doing it.
No.
Or you have the other way where, yes, it's an abusive relationship, and she gets the fuck out. Because, obviously, she does at the end of the movie, but we know she's gonna go back.
Well, because the whole time, she's like, all this stuff is happening that's insane. Like, Christian Grey meets her, and then steals a set of questions from her or whatever that she went to go report on or some dumb thing, and then shows up at her job and then and punches one of her friends
at the like, bar. Yeah. Like, that to me is the most, like...
And, like, commands her to stop drinking and then, like, takes her home and undresses her. And, like, it's
and
crazy.
He says, you could have been taken advantage of. I'm like, she was!
Yeah, and at the end, he hits her with the belt after several things very similarly to that have happened, and she gives full consent to the belt thing because, I don't know, love or some dumb thing. Right. She's like, just show me how bad it can be. Right after protesting it, like, a lot, she's like, okay, fine, just do it as bad as you can.
But the other thing that's not consistent, too, is, like, okay, so he says right away, and obviously this is supposed to be part of the story, but it's just bad writing. Like, he says right away, I will not sleep with you, and I do not make love. And then he finds out that she's a virgin, and he makes love to her, and he sleeps with her.
Yeah. Like, well, and he already slept with her that first night when he takes her back to the hotel.
Exactly. And then he keeps no, I don't sleep with people.
And then he fucking did! He just keeps doing it after he says he doesn't.
One thing I also didn't get is
she
says, like,
no, that's, I am
there's,
too.
There's a part where she's like, think I'm in love with you, or blah, blah, blah. Like, we don't get any reason why she should have feelings for this guy at all. There's no
Tony, he's rich.
Like the one, the one time he actually maybe gave the slightest thought to her is when he says, okay, once a week we'll go on a date. Like, that's the only time he ever showed character that, like, cared about her. Otherwise,
well, not necessarily cared about her, not, just so much as cared about getting her to sign the contract so that he could hit her and have sex with her.
Well, and also it's it's like, okay, so have a relationship like that. Like, that's fine, but
you need moments.
You need moments where you're showing, like, the people. Like, and that's one thing that I will say, and this is going to make some people go crazy, but
you need to chill out about this for one sec here. Watch what you're about to say.
I do think that in Twilight, they actually do show some moments of Edward and Bella, like, oh, I don't know, talking about things and discussing life and, like, that's how they fall in love. And given it's quick, too, but at least there's some kind of background for, like, oh, they're, it's not just
sex. Everything about their dialogue and their conversations just revolved around the situation that they're
exactly.
in. They're not once does that anyone
you're,
say, like,
you're saying exactly what
what's
I,
your favorite color?
No, wait, no. There was one part that wasn't about sex when he was talking to her where it seemed like he cared because he turned to her
and
said,
but it's not
said,
just sex, it's just the situation.
No,
that
but he turned to her in one part and said, like, I want to fuck you into the ground or something. And I was like, oh, they love each other.
No, yeah, it's just that there
That was a real line, right? Isn't that what he said?
I believe so, yeah.
That's fucking crazy. Yeah. That's not okay dialogue, right?
Well, and also...
Oh, my God.
I just...
They don't say that in porn. That's how crazy that is.
And it just wasn't, like, that kind of... None of the dialogue was sexy at all.
No!
And you can have sexy dialogue. It's one of the things I like the most.
You'd be like, hey, how about later we go home and just hang out for a while? And I'm like, ooh, that sounds sensual. But they didn't say any of that.
But yeah, like, you can have sexy dialogue, and it's just, like, none of it, you know? Like, he said fuck so many times, and it's just like, fuck is not... I mean, there are some ways that, yes, it can be hot, but, like, okay, can I say one?
Maya, so, you're saying everything. We're not stopping you at all.
We allowed you to be on this podcast.
I'm just thinking of one of, like, the fucking hottest things, like, in a show.
Ooh.
In the show Girls. All right,
guys.
Ooh.
In the show Girls, in the first season, and I can't even remember...
Showgirls is a movie. There's not a season.
The show. Space Girls. I can't even remember the characters' names. What is...
That show, Space Girls,
Williams. Awesome. Allison Williams. Marnie?
Marnie, yes.
Marnie?
Yes.
When she meets the one guy in the first season, and, like, they're obviously really attracted to each other, and then, like, she says, I have a boyfriend, and, you know, they can't fuck or whatever... And he goes up to her right in front of her face and says, yes, but the first time, or he says something like, yes, the first time we have sex, don't be afraid if you're scared because I know how to fuck and I'm good at it or something like that. And it's like, oh, like the first time I saw it, I'm just like, holy shit, that was hot.
Yeah, and
like,
Christian Dre was like, hey. I won't touch you until you sign the paperwork.
And there's discussion of paperwork.
Yeah.
What's a butt plug? That's probably the sexiest line.
Oh, God.
I was a personal fan of the part where she had him strike anal and vaginal fisting from their contract.
Right.
She's like, I'm not cool with any of that.
Yeah. I mean, that anal fisting never tried it because it's pretty awesome.
I love that anal fisting was the first one. Like, I don't know. What? Maybe you should flip those. I don't know. That's my mind.
Nope. No, man. No.
Nope. You start fisting that butthole first.
It's not.
You can at least do your vagina.
Oh, God.
Did you say vagina?
Vagina.
Tony's very unfamiliar with the dialogue and the concepts of this film.
Very unfamiliar with
lady
vaginas.
That's just. Man. And like. One of the things about this movie, too...
I mean, my Mr. Grey.
Christian Grey was so rich at what? Probably... Okay, if she's supposed to have just graduated college, he's maybe 5 years older than her. They don't look different in age at all.
I think he's supposed to be like 30,
okay.
I would say.
So he's supposed to be like 30, and he's so rich at 30 that he is just like buying her cars and her computer.
He's a billionaire.
She says one time, my computer's not working right now. And she shows up at home and just has a new computer.
Clay, it's called listening.
But he keeps taking her old things and just getting rid of them.
Right, all of
the
cars
and the fucking laptop. He just takes them and gets rid of them.
I love, like, they made both her and then her roommate sound smart because... The one was a valedictorian, and the other one, like, she says, I have a 3.8 GPA, or what, like, the main girl, Anna.
She said she had a 4.0 GPA.
Did she?
It's easy to remember because it's the best kind.
But did Anna say that, or did the roommate?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Anyway, so, but yeah, like, it's just all of this little, and then you know that he's a billionaire because they, like, flash to a, you know, newspaper that says billionaire.
Yeah. I would, like, I would love if Fifty Shades of Grey just had that spinning newspaper.
Right?
Eccentric billionaire Mr. Grey.
extra, Mr. Grey has new sex slave.
Will not do anal fisting, she says. That movie would be the best movie
we
ever.
We just wrote a better movie than Fifty Shades of Grey. Oh my God.
The other thing with, like, her character too, it, like, when she go, like, at the beginning of the movie, she literally does the thing that girls always do in romantic comedies. She falls.
Yeah.
Like, that was, oh my God, that
for
was
no
so
reason.
Dumb.
For no reason.
She walked through a door.
Yes.
And there's nothing to trip on.
No, no. And she's so nervous. And, like, and I love, I watched a trailer with my friend Alex a couple times. And she's like, oh yeah, when she's all ugly and mousy because she has a ponytail.
That's fucking.
Well, okay, I do want to ask you guys though. Like, do you think that she's like sexy or hot or like?
I thought she was very attractive.
Yeah,
I think.
I think she's cute.
Yes,
I think like.
Well, I mean, like,
there were parts where she was really sexy.
Yeah.
Baseline, she wasn't, but I think that's more like
my first exposure to her was that scene in The Social Network where she's looking pretty hot, so it's just imprinted in my brain.
Right. But,
just like Jacob imprinted on, the baby that Bella and Edward had.
Renesmee.
I'm talking about, I couldn't remember it. I can't believe that. I'm talking about the source material.
Do you notice whenever they start talking about Twilight, I just go silent because I have nothing to add to those conversations.
We're talking about sex and you're doing an okay job, man. You can both get your way through Twilight.
My bad.
I'm so sorry. I'm not even mad. That was fucking great.
Just, this movie is just so, at every turn, it's literally everything about this movie is just preposterous.
It's probably the
None of it is realistic. It's all just so ridiculous. And they put, like, on a meta level, first of all, we just watched this in a room full of, like, well, like 100 people or something like that. But, like, we just watched a bunch of people have sex for, like, an hour and a half with
other
each other.
Yeah.
Right. And then also, like, 50 people we didn't know.
Right. I'm like, wow, so that's crazy. Watching porn next to Tony
and, then,
and Clay.
You're watching the movie, and as they walk into Christian Grey's office or apartment, and you're like, oh my god, they had so much money to make this movie. Everything is so fancy in this movie. Why? Yeah. Why do they pour so much money into this? Why? It's so
production
stupid. Volume. It's all so dumb.
They wanted it to seem like a legit movie.
Oh my god.
This is probably the most boring movie about an abusive relationship I've ever seen. Seriously, they made that boring.
Why at the end, at the very end, when he's like going to go touch her and she goes, no. First of all, why does she say that then?
Yeah.
After she lets him abuse her for the whole movie.
Well, I know, well, but it's, okay, well, to I, me it's like, she's finally decided no. And I did actually kind of, I like, I did like that he didn't touch her then too, which I was like, because I really thought that there would be some moments of like him disregarding consent.
No, he practices constraint in all things.
Which I was like, okay, well, that's good anyway. Like there is no point where he, I would say, just, is raping her.
And that you're right that it's positive like that she said no at the end and then that
he listened
and stuff. But contextually, it was so out of left field and insane just because of the environment they were fostering throughout the whole movie, I felt like.
I didn't think so, because
like,
I thought she really had...
I understand
had...
that at any point
because,
in an abusive relationship, if someone does have enough, there will be a point where that happens. But it just, it came to a head in such a weird, inorganic way. Like, it was just like...
See, I didn't think so.
She was like, I want you to hit me really, really, really hard...
Because
she
wanted to see,
like, I don't like this.
She wanted to push the boundary. She wanted to see what he would be like when he finally did hit her as hard as he could. And then she realized, like, I don't want any part of this. And then she told him that she was in love with him, but, like, had feelings for him. And then I think she finally realized, like, I need to fucking leave. And I need him never to touch me again. Yeah. Because otherwise these feelings won't go away. And that's...
Yeah, definitely.
That's why I thought it was, like, so, like, striking. I thought
but
that it
also,
was a more natural...
Because, contextually, part of what cheapens that and makes it so stupid, that ending... Is that contextually, we know there are two more of these stories starring
the
same people the
thing.
Doing the same thing.
Right.
So it's a null point. It doesn't fucking matter.
No,
it shouldn't
doesn't.
Have ended like that. And then the end of the movie was just like, now it's over.
Yeah.
It was, why?
Right.
We know there are two. So it just.
Yes, that part for sure
crazy.
Does cheapen it.
It's
but
so
the other
crazy.
Thing too that I did think was interesting with the whole contract thing, and I think that that's why, like, they have her saying no like that, is because she never does sign that contract.
Yeah.
Like, she never is okay with it completely enough to sign it.
Yeah.
You know, which I was like, okay. I kind of...
The whole part where she's like, why are you trying to change me? And he's like, no, you're changing me.
Oh,
first
God.
Of all, awful, 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 awful dialogue.
Awful.
Second of all, that is such a cop-out fucking thing to do. Like,
yes.
Like,
oh, just wait.
Like, to be like, oh, wait,
I
the power dynamic
the third,
is shifting. And
I
it's
know
like,
how the third
it's
movie
not.
Ends.
Let's just,
and like,
well, let's not spoil it. Somebody out there might care a little bit, I guess. But I
no,
also
no, no.
know how it ends.
Oh.
And it's so
fucked
up. It's all so stupid.
Yes. No, let's none not spoil of it because we will be coming back.
Yes.
In like probably 2 years.
We will just say. I think we can say fairly, and I do not think this will be a spoiler. I think you guys will be okay with this enough that I'm just going to say it. That by the end of this trilogy of stories and stuff, none of it will have mattered. Like, by the end, it's all just nullified, essentially.
Yeah.
Like, none of... It's just... Oh, God.
Right.
It's so stupid.
Right.
Ooh. So, Top Shelf? Top Shelf?
God.
I'm going to say, like...
Karkov?
No, this is like...
this
is like...
Is there a bird in there?
When those alcoholics drink, like, Listerine because they can't get their fix in any other way.
Like the rail that he, like, puts in her... Probably later. Ooh. This is the kind of rail that is. Like, you don't want any of that rail. Not even like, you're parched in the middle of the desert and someone has some dirty, like, ditch water.
Rubbing alcohol.
This is that ditch water. Yeah. It's not. Ooh, baby. It's crazy. It is crazy.
And like I said, I started
if you
off...
insist on watching it, do it by yourself and laugh. Please, God, laugh at it.
And what, like, all right, so as you know, a couple episodes me and Clay had to watch Boy Next Door, and even though that was a terrible movie, throughout the whole time, I was laughing and kind of had fun of
how
bad it
was.
That was
fun bad. This was just like bad, but it took itself so seriously.
It started off as fun bad, and then it just...
Right.
Then it turned into Sinbad, which is just not
that
okay.
It was really weird. All of a sudden, he just came and did a set.
Yeah. Man.
I don't know what that lady was thinking when she wrote this story.
And I don't, it's just, this was the highlight of my year, I think, so far, was getting to see this and just have it be as ludicrous as it was.
You do have to address even this whole thing, though, as a phenomenon. The fact that some lady wrote a fan fiction from Twilight, and now it made $81 million. Dollars.
It's all just nonsense.
And people
from
are
start
talking
to finish, that story is like insane.
The fact that I was listening to the 93X morning show from Friday, and so many times they were talking about people who are going to see it. Like, it was an event.
Yeah.
This whole weekend was an event for people
to
see 50 Shades of Grey. And that's stupid.
Yeah.
That is so dumb that our society is like the big thing is seeing a terrible movie.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Because we knew it would be terrible.
Yeah.
It's not, there was no like prayer that this could be a good movie because the source material is nothing. It's not even bad writing. It could barely be construed as writing.
Yeah.
It is nothing.
Yeah,
and it's so crazy that then everybody was like, well, "We gotta pre-order these tickets."
Also,
like,
isn't the book super famous for being poorly written? So, why change the script then? Right? You know, like
yeah, people want what they got already.
Yeah,
in a movie form.
Ugh, guys, don't see this movie. Seriously,
airline
stop.
Bottles. Let's there do are... that because this will be more fun.
Yes. Maya, would you like to start us off?
No, because that's what I've been doing.
You're trying to remember?
Yeah.
We actually just did ours like 3 hours ago.
I got
another
one.
The only one I really had.
Oh, really?
So...
I mean, I'll go then. So, the movie I want to talk about, Maya, you'll be enjoying this because for our awesome podcast, The Best Picture Show, I've been watching a lot of
classics.
You're not
usually here to say that when I make that noise.
Oh, I say it at home every single
time. Oh, good, nice.
Also, every time I
try to interact
with
you
guys,
indirectly.
Also, I like yell at the podcast, you mispronounce everyone's name wrong. Everyone!
Well, whose names?
Everyone.
Wait, what?
You've been calling me Tony for years. It's T-O-N-I.
I thought it was Tiny. Like the owl? Like the kind of owl?
Oh, God.
Whose names do I say wrong?
I can't remember at this point.
Dude, you can't say it! But an example!
Also, there is multiple times when I want to yell at both of you, but mainly Clay.
I do like, you know, typically we do like make fun of you or like yell at you.
On the podcast?
So now we can just do it to your face.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Fuck you,
get out. Get out of our house.
Anyways,
Back to airline
what
miles.
What happened? I've been disgraced on my own program.
I've been watching a lot of older movies for the podcast, and one that I absolutely loved.
That's what it was. I remembered. Thank you.
Well, The Conversation, which you have told me about before.
I have seen it, yeah.
Yes. All right. I loved this movie. Yeah. I seriously, if this movie was not up against The Godfather Part 2, I'd be like, why is this... I love...
That's interesting to me. Like...
I just... It was... It stands out to me. Like, it's not just like... It's essentially just a psychological thriller. Like, it's paranoia, essentially.
Well, and that's why I said, like, the last 15 minutes, and you know what I'm talking about. That, to me, was, like, the most interesting. Maybe 30 minutes, but... Because it's the one where they're following a couple, right?
Yes.
That's the... Yeah. So, like, the last 30 minutes to me was, like, really interesting. But, like, the middle hour of that movie was just so boring.
See, I was not bored with it because I like movies that, in its construction, they kind of play with, like, this idea of, is this real? Is this not real? You know, like movies like Black Swan, like, what is reality and what is, like, not, or just in the guy's head and stuff like that. I love that, and I wasn't bored throughout this movie at all. I think Gene Hackman did a great job. I think it's people refer to it, it is a classic. I think it's Criterion Collection. So, guys, if you want an older movie that starts off normal and gets really fucked up as it goes on, The Conversation, Gene Hackman.
And Francis Ford Coppola.
Oh, yes. Which is crazy because that is the same year as Godfather
Part 2.
And what's his name,
too?
John Cazale.
John Cazale.
Fun fact, guys, John Cazale has been in 5 movies, and all of them have been nominated for Best Picture.
Hey, you know what? I got an airline bottle. I haven't watched it recently, but I'm going to throw it out there. Everybody should watch Clock Stoppers. It's a great movie. Time stopping. They look at a sprinkler, and the water's all stopped. And there's a part where the guy from Third Rock from the Sun is really old because time went really fast for him.
And Clay was judging 50 Shades of Gray.
Clockstoppers.
He's bringing up Clockstoppers.
It's got the girl from Jurassic Park 2 who gets eaten by the tiny dinosaur
as Clockstoppers?
No.
But, because, I mean, no movie is, but I watched Chinatown.
Oh, I did too.
Had you not seen it before?
No.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I hadn't seen it before either. I really liked that
It's very
movie.
Good.
I thought that, like, I need to watch more Jack Nicholson movies, because I've seen quite a few of them, but, like, fuck, I just love watching him on screen. And also Faye Dunaway. Like, she is so pretty, but, like, her face is just all angles. Like it's just like, it's like sharp angles.
Did you guys ever play the first Tomb Raider? It looks like Lara Croft's face.
Probably.
It's just pixels.
I don't know what that looks like.
Oh, I do, and that's good.
But anyway, Chinatown, that movie to me was never boring. I was like very intrigued the whole time, and I thought that was
Good. I like about that movie is just nowadays, you don't get any film noir, really. Like, that style, that detective kind of... With a case that actually the ending... There's a surprise. Like, there was a reveal in Chinatown that...
Don't worry.
I didn't know about.
Don't worry. It's Chinatown.
It's Chinatown. Oh, yeah. That's a good movie, too. I recommend both those movies. Chinatown.
You know what else I recommend?
So Chinatown, The Conversation, and Clockstoppers, everyone. Go for the 3 C's.
So if you like movies like Clockstoppers, you know, keep listening to this podcast. Good job. You live a good life. If you like good movies,
I would love.
You should listen to The Best Picture Show.
The Best Picture Show.
I like hearing about movies that don't have color, and also the soundtracks sound like someone stepped on a record halfway through most of the time, and the pitch changes a lot. And then,
what
like,
are you
want,
talking about?
I don't think he has not seen enough old movies to actually know what they're like.
You guys, do you know movies that used to have intermissions? If you like that, listen to The Best Picture Show.
So anyway, I'm and I'm gonna talk over you. So our next episode is about thrillers.
Well, actually, technically, next episode, which we'll drop in a week, is about the upcoming Oscar Best Picture nominees.
So that is current movies, unlike what Clay was talking about.
Yeah,
and being a dick about.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I wonder why there was an intermission in Theory of Everything. It was really weird.
Hey, what are we gonna be seeing next week, Tony?
Oh, yeah, you guys like Guess, yeah. don't
I
you?
I believe Hot Tub Time Machine 2 is coming out next week, but we I can't figure out from this thing on my phone
the
what
two
other
movies
ones
opening
are.
Is Hot Tub Time Machine 2, and the only other one, I think, is The Duff. Which,
oh, is that next week?
Yeah.
No, I
oh,
think... Okay. Didn't that open this week?
No.
No? Okay.
Which I would... like, it's probably not that great of a movie, but I want to see it just for the
really
fact
like
that...
Mae Whitman.
Yeah, I want to
exactly.
see it for Mae
I know,
Whitman.
Me too.
And it's... It's
it
kind of sad.
Just like she's all that, but
it's
I honestly
kinda,
don't care either way. I hope we get to see one of the two that is opening. I would love to see Hot Tub Time Machine 2, but if we have to see The Duff, I'm honestly not going to.
I don't
that.
think what were the other ones that came
Hot
out?
Hot Tub Time Machine 2.
No, but I mean like
this
that
week?
Were here. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Kingsman might repeat.
Oh, Kingsman.
That's
yeah.
a possibility.
I think Kingsman might.
So, and we are already going to see that, so
yeah, so that
be,
will
we'll see that recreation.
But I mean,
anyway.
I would like to see Hot Tub Time Machine 2. I'm a fan of that movie.
What else do you do?
Oh, absolutely. What? Oh, you know, just like run.
That's our laugh track, everyone. Which is like the Big Bang Theory. Whenever a joke happens,
Kevin's laughing at what they do recreationally.
Oh,
because he's also done recreation.
Kaylee Cuoco pretended to know about science this time. Hey, everybody watch Big Bang Theory.
If you want to see Clay's podcast where he reviews Big Bang Theory.
Oh. It's going to be on after Corn Chowder.
Yes, you guys don't know this because this episode hasn't dropped yet, but we decided we're going to do another podcast called Corn Chowder where we talk about...
The show Chowder and the
band
Corn.
Don't know why. Don't know why, but it's going to happen. This could be great. You'll love it.
We're not actually going to do it. He wants to,
no,
I think, but I'm not going
to
do
you
it.
You guys are talking to me, and
I'm
as
actually,
always, you can find us on Twitter. I am at Truth About Clay.
I'm at Tone for K.
T-O-N-E-R.
Yes.
Fucking A. Again. T-O-N-E-F-U-R-K-E-Y.
And I'm at nothing because Twitter is stupid.
N-O-T-H-I-N-G.
I'm going to be the Jason Mantzoukas of this one.
You can, though, go on Facebook and like the best picture
please
show.
Do. Please, please, please.
We are
the
so
like
close to
100 show.
Likes.
I know. We are so close.
Come on, motherfuckers. Like, you guys can go see 50 like Shades us. Of Grey. You can go click a like on fucking Facebook.
Exactly.
And as always, remember to subscribe on iTunes. Download all the episodes you might want to hear later because we can only keep about 6 up at a time. Drop us a comment or a review on iTunes as well, and tell your friends.
And overall, Maya, thank you for joining us on the podcast.
Oh, let's give her a smattering of applause.
I know. I deserve that.
Bye.